Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Sunday School podcast for March 10th, 2024. That's the fourth Sunday in Lent. And today we're looking at Exodus 16 and the story God provides manna and quail. If you're listening to this podcast in conjunction with the CPH textbook 120 Bible Stories, you can find this story on page 58 in that text. So the Exodus has taken place. Israel is free from Egypt. They've just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. The Lord has closed the sea over Pharaoh and his armies, drowning them. Most of Exodus chapter 15 is taken up with the song of Moses, the song of praise that the Lord has delivered them out of bondage in Egypt, and now he will guide them through the promised or through the wilderness to the promised land. Even at the end of Exodus 15, however, there's already some grumbling. After 3 days in the wilderness, they have no water, and they grumble against Moses. But quickly the Lord tells Moses to take a log that the Lord shows them and tells him to throw it in some bitter water, and the water becomes sweet enough for the people to drink. Just one note about that log. This is that word etz again. And so when the people have no water to drink, just this bitter water, the Lord shows Moses an etz, which is the same word for a log or tree or wood or cross. And it's by that etz that the water is made sweet, and so the people can live. And church fathers who have gone before us have said this is a type of the cross, that by the etz on which Jesus died, or by Jesus' death on the etz, rather, we are saved from the bitterness of death, and we are given life. And if you take water and add the merits of Christ's death on the etz for us, there you have that sweet holy baptism by which we are cleansed of our sin. Anyways, the people grumble. The Lord provides for them sweet water by use of this etz that Moses throws into the water. And then the Lord declares he will keep his promises, calls for them to keep his commandments, and brings them to Elim, an oasis where there are 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, so a bit of room there for the Israelites to encamp and rest from their first wandering in the wilderness. And that brings us to Exodus chapter 16, where our story begins. We read in verse 1, "They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" So the grumbling picks up once again. It's really quite amazing. Remember, the Israelites have witnessed the 10 plagues and other wonders that Moses has worked as part of their deliverance. They have seen the Lord pass over their homes during the 10th plague and spare their firstborn sons. It hasn't been many weeks since they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and watched Pharaoh and his army drowned. They've most recently seen water turn sweet by Moses throwing that log into the water. Once again, however, as they set out, as soon as they're hungry, they start to grumble against Moses and Aaron. And they wish they would have died back in Egypt, where of course they had all the meat they wanted to eat and all the bread to the full. Neither of which are true. They're making Egypt sound a whole lot better than it was. And they're making the wilderness sound a whole lot worse than it is. For they accuse Moses and Aaron on behalf of God of leading them with all these miracles out in the wilderness just so they can die there instead of in Egypt. It's easy to shake our heads and wonder at the stubbornness and the quick doubts of the Israelites, except that you and I have the same sinful nature that we do. And so all sinners are quick to forget God's promises and quick to doubt His love for them. How quickly do we, having once again on Sunday at a divine service, sung praises to our Lord for His love for us and dying for our sins and rising again, how quickly after that are we prone to sin and worry and doubt of His promises? So we can point the finger at the Israelites as long as we're saying, yep, that's just an illustration of us too. So the people grumble, and we read in verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?' And Moses said, 'When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against Him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord.'" So the people grumble against Moses and Aaron because they can see them, and because, of course, they're pretty puny looking compared to that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. But Moses reminds them that when they grumble, they're not just dissatisfied with the leadership of Moses and Aaron. They're actually grumbling against God, who's brought them out of Egypt, led them through the Red Sea, and so far has provided sweet water miraculously, and still they grumble. The Lord says He's going to provide bread raining down from heaven, not just to feed them, but also to test them. And the test is pretty simple. Each day, when the bread falls from the sky, gather enough for that day, trusting that bread will fall from heaven the following day. On the sixth day, on the day before the Sabbath, gather twice as much, because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, and gathering food would be work, and also because the bread isn't going to fall on the Sabbath day, because God isn't going to command you to work on the Sabbath to pick it up. So it's pretty simple as far as tests go. Pick up enough bread for the day when it falls, and prepare for the day that it doesn't fall. Continuing then with Exodus 16, verse 9. "Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your grumbling.' And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am your God. So that's really quite a stunning four verses there. The people are grumbling. Moses has gathered together before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. They are gathered, and the Lord appears in this cloud of glory. And rather than punish them, judge them for their grumbling and their doubts and their annoying sin, the Lord instead repeats his promise to them. At twilight you shall eat meat, in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So the Lord wants to be known not as the one who inflicts wrath on those who disobey him. He wants to be known as the God who is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and who provides for all of our needs of body and soul. Continuing with verse 13, we read, in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded, gather of it each one of you as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. So the Lord provides quail in the evening and manna in the morning. And it kind of is remarkable to me that the quail don't get more love, more publicity in this account. Because it's really quite an astonishing thing that the Lord would send enough quail into the camp to feed that many Israelites and to do so again and again. But it's the bread that gets the attention because the bread is a type of Christ. Each day when the dew goes up, which might be a rare thing in itself in the desert, there is remaining a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel see it, they say to one another, what is it? In Hebrew, the word for what is it is manna. And the answer to what is it is, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Because you would die without this bread, the Lord gives it to you that you might eat of it day to day, and so live as his people. And so then Moses tells the people to gather the manna as the Lord has commanded, enough for each person for the day. An omer or so, which is about 2 quarts, I guess that's enough for your balanced breakfast, lunch, and then a side with your quail dinner. And so the people gather it, and they have food to eat each day. So far, so good, except that even though the Lord has said, gather new manna each day, and even though Moses has said, don't leave any of it over till the morning, some do not listen. They save more for the morning. Perhaps they don't have to, you know, go out and do the work of gathering more bread from heaven the following day. And for their disobedience, they find that the manna turns, goes bad, breeds worms, and stinks. However, despite their disobedience, the Lord keeps providing manna. This is a miraculous meal, by the way. People have tried to explain it as some sort of natural phenomenon. I remember reading an article, in the past 10 years or so, how some had determined that this manna was actually a type of mushroom that grows on the Sinai Peninsula. Of course, mushrooms don't grow in the heat, and so these things apparently pop up out of the ground with the early morning dew, and then they disappear again as the sun rises. And so some enterprising scholars have said, well, that's probably the manna that God provided, except that God didn't say it came out of the ground. He said it rained down from the sky. And more convincingly than that is that when the Lord provided manna, it didn't fall on the Sabbath day. These mushrooms of the Sinai Peninsula are not quite so discriminating. When there's dew, they grow any day of the week. So always beware of these explanations where we find some way to explain away God's miraculous provision. Instead, rejoice that God provides miraculously. All right, so the Israelites are gathering their omer of manna each morning. They're not supposed to save any overnight. When they do, it breeds worms and it stinks. We'll see how they do with the next part of God's command. We read in verse 22, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So the Lord, true to his promise and his command, tells him to gather up twice as much manna on the sixth day of the week. And lo and behold, on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, the manna they kept overnight has not started to stink. Instead, it's still good for eating because that is bread that God has provided. In the meantime, some say, well, we'll just pick up an omer on the sixth day and go out on the Sabbath and pick up another omer of manna. And they go out on the Sabbath day, and of course, no manna has fallen from the sky because God said no manna would fall from the sky. And so they have doubted his promise. They've doubted his command. And now they've also broken the third commandment because rather than keep the Sabbath day as a solemn day of rest, they've gone out hunting for bread instead. You kind of have to feel some sympathy here for Moses. At the beginning of this chapter, when the people grumble against God, they yell at him. Now, when the Lord rebukes the people, he rebukes Moses. How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? He says. Now, that sounds terribly unfair in English, but the you there is a plural. So God is saying to Moses, to say to the people, how long will you people refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? So the people grumble against Moses, and Moses declares to God, this is what they're saying about you, even though God already knows. And the Lord rebukes the people through Moses. So the Lord says to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? And Moses says to the people, thus says the Lord, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? All this is to say that Moses serves as an intercessor between man and God, and between God and man. Despite the rebellion of the people, though, despite their sin and doubting promises and disobedience to his commands, the Lord makes sure that every morning, for 6 days of the week, there's bread falling from heaven so that they can eat. Picking up at verse 31, now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. So you have the little footnote on omer and ephah measurements there. Again, an omer is a couple of quarts, an ephah is about 3/5 of a bushel, or 22 liters. Anyways, an ephah is a lot more than an omer. So the Lord keeps providing this manna, and we note here it's like coriander seed, white, and it tastes like wafers made with honey. So as they go through the wilderness, as they prepare for the promised land, which is known as the land flowing with milk and honey, with each breakfast meal of manna, they have that little hint of honey in the manna. They have this little foretaste of the promised land to come. And with all the stubborn rebellion, that means it will take 40 years for the people of Israel to get from Egypt the short distance to the promised land. The Lord provides manna for them throughout that journey. This bread for life is constantly with them. And so, as a reminder of God's constant provision, the Lord commands that Aaron take a jar, fill it up with manna, and store it inside the Ark of the Covenant so that people associate the manna with God's presence and his provision. So, how does this story point to Christ? Well, this story plays a central role, especially in John 6. John 6 begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000 miraculously with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And later, some question him, comparing his miracle to the miracle of manna in the wilderness. In the course of that discussion, Jesus calls himself the true bread from heaven in John 6:32, and he calls himself the bread of life in John 6:35. In other words, now that we are rescued from bondage to sin, Jesus sustains us daily by his grace until he delivers us to the promised land of heaven. As the manna rained down from heaven so the people could live, so Jesus is not just one more human being, but he is the Son of God who has come down from heaven to be our Savior as that bread sustained the people daily in the wilderness, so Christ sustains us and our faith with his grace, with his gifts throughout our time in the wilderness. As the Lord was present with his people in that cloud of glory, as he promises bread from heaven, so Jesus, the bread of life, is present with us in his means of grace, including, therefore, in with and under the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. So we have a strong type of Christ as he calls himself the bread of life in the wilderness, clearly playing off of the comments of his opponents that their forefathers ate manna in the wilderness. Jesus says, that manna pointed to me. I am the bread from heaven. Oh, and I almost forgot that the last place that Jesus is recorded being in John 5 is Jerusalem. And John 6 has Jesus going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which means he has left the area of what was once the promised land of the Old Testament. So when he miraculously feeds the people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he is feeding the people of God in the wilderness. All right, one other way that this story in Exodus points to Christ, that of course is Moses. Moses is a type of Christ often throughout his life. And here, of course, he intercedes for the people before God. And he also speaks the word God gives him back to the people. This, of course, points to Jesus, our mediator, our intercessor, our prophet, priest, and king, who intercedes for us before his Father in heaven. And there he declares that though we're still a bunch of doubting, sinful grumblers, he's cleansed us by his blood, and so we are God's people, and God delights to hear his Son intercede for us. And then Jesus also speaks his Father's word to us that we might still know God's commands and his promises and his grace and provision for us. And in fact, remember once again how it sounds like God is so unfair to Moses when he says, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? And again, that's his message to the people through Moses for them. Jesus, however, at the cross, he takes God's words of judgment that we deserve for our sin, and he accepts them for himself. And so he accepts God's judgment and wrath for our sin rather than passing it right along, sheds his own blood, and now declares that we are forgiven for our sins. So thanks be to God that as he provided that manna for his people in the wilderness that they might live on the way to the promised land, all that was to point to Jesus, the bread of life, who gives us grace and new life as long as we're in this wilderness on our way to the promised land. Okay, that's a quick look at Exodus chapter 16 and the story of God providing manna and quail for his people. God grant you every good gift as you meditate upon this text further. God grant you every blessing if you're teaching this to others. And until we speak again, the Lord order your days and your deeds in his peace. Amen.